We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Right now, at T-Mobile, when you come in and switch, you get the amazing iPhone 11 or iPhone 11 Pro on us with qualifying trade-in.
Aren't these mountains majestic? Joe, are you even looking?
I'm posting these amazing pics I took with my iPhone 11 Pro. It has three cameras.
Whoa, those pics are amazing. And you have service, too?
T-Mobile. Their newest signal goes farther than ever before.
Then you can look up whether these are bear tracks, right?
Or we could just run.
Come to a T-Mobile store today and get iPhone 11 or iPhone 11 Pro on us with qualifying trade-in. And right now, get four lines for just $30 a line with AutoPay. Switch today.
Contact us if you cancel or credits may stop and full price due, plus taxes and fees via 24 monthly credits for well-qualified customers with qualifying service and finance agreement. iPhone 11 Pro, zero down with trade-in plus $31.25 times 24 months. Pre-credit price, $999.99. 0% APR, very limited iPhone 11 Pro quantities.
I'm John Morgan of Morgan & Morgan. When our clients come to us for representation, I see way more than a client. I see me. When I hear someone has a herniated disc or a back injury, I think, what if that was me? How would that impact my life? I put myself in your shoes and in your life. When I look at your family, I see my family. This outlook makes my firm think differently than most. I understand that some injuries are forever, and forever is a very long time. For 30 years, we've helped hundreds of thousands recover what they deserve. $1 billion last year alone. Why? Because you are us. You are me. Every time we hear your stories, we feel like it's us. If you're injured in a car crash...
This is Late Night
on Sports Radio WEEI.
Let's get it going. This is Late Night
right now
on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, well, a whole lot to get into tonight. It'd be bad if I said not a lot to talk about tonight, but there is a whole lot, and I don't say that in terms of I'm not being hyperbolic. There is a lot to get into tonight. Everything going on with this Red Sox story that Alex spearheaded in the Boston Globe. If you thought this team was dysfunctional, wait until I get into some of the details that were going on between the analytical department of the Red Sox and the coaching staff, meaning Dana Lavangi, who was not given his walking papers, but lost his job as the pitching coach. So there's that on the table. Al Horford talked with Steve Bulpet of the Boston Herald about why he ultimately decided to leave the team. Interesting comments there about his relationship with Kyrie Irving. I'll get into all that. But I want to start with the Patriots. The number 617-779-7937. Again, 617-779-7937. Brian Barrett with you for the next 3 hours or so. WEI Late Night. So first of all, Ben Watson did this interview, long-form interview today, with the guys on OMF, and I'll get into some of the stuff he said earlier in just a little bit. But, man, Ben Watson just basically poured his heart out on the air essentially tonight or earlier this afternoon. I mean, it was incredible to hear the answers he gave. Great interview by those guys as well, and I want to get into some of the things he said because when you listen to that interview, we usually think about the Patriots as robots, as a team, and we don't really think about the individuals on the team. But if you listen to what Ben Watson had to say earlier today, you're going to feel bad for the player. And some of the things you don't think about with an NFL player, you're going to start to think about with Ben Watson after hearing this interview. The fact that he moved his whole entire family, seven kids, from New Orleans to wherever he lives in Massachusetts, right? Moves his whole family across the country, not across the country, but from New Orleans up to Massachusetts. So he's not moving at all because he wants his kids to stay in school around here because ultimately he decided as a family they were going to move. And now he's stuck without a job at the NFL. And I'm not worried about him from a financial aspect or anything along those lines, but he came out of retirement because he thought he was going to have an opportunity to return to the place where ultimately he started his career with Tom Brady, et cetera, have an opportunity to play for one more year with Brady and try to get a Lombardi trophy. And now he's sitting on the outside looking in, trying to get another job if he wants another job. And he talked about that as well. So I'll get into all that. But in terms of the player specifically, to get more into the actual team version of this or what this means to the actual team, I wouldn't worry about this whatsoever that Ben Watson is no longer a member of the Patriots. There's no reason to worry about this from a Patriots angle on the actual football field. If Bill Belichick thought this guy would actually bring a big boost to the offense, he'd still be on the team. So that means right now, the way that Bill Belichick looks at a guy like Ben Watson is, well, he's a little bit better than Ryan Izzo, maybe. Is he better than Matt LaCosse, or is he even better than those guys? That's probably how the coach looks at this guy right now, because if Ben Watson would actually be a big contributor to this Patriots football team, he'd be on the team right now. That's the bottom line. If he had the talent level that was going to give at least some juice to the offense, because clearly we've seen, I get the second half, the passing game woke up, but they were awful in the first half of that game against the Redskins in terms of the offense, the passing game in general. So if there was anything that was going to inject life into that offense, and he thought he had somebody that could do that, they would activate Ben Watson. But clearly they don't value the player in that particular way. And I also wouldn't worry about the fact that if you look at going forward, whether or not they're going to keep him around and then bring him onto the team, I don't think that's something we should be overwhelmingly concerned about. The bigger concern with this team is the big move they have to make. Mutt was talking about it earlier. Some of the guys that they could be after on the open market, or not the open market, the trade market rather, the A.J. Greens, the Tyler Eifert, the Stephon Diggs, the Emmanuel Sanders, all those guys that could become available as we get closer to the trading deadline at the end of the month. That's the thing you should be worried about, not whether or not Ben Watson is going to get back on this football team. Now, from the human aspect, you feel bad for Ben Watson, but in terms of on this football team, clearly Bill Belichick doesn't think there's anything that Ben Watson's going to do that significantly upgrades this offense. The guy averaged 25 yards per game last year in terms of his receiving yards per game, and you also look at the fact that he's 38 years old. So there's probably not much he was going to bring to this Patriots offense that clearly the offense right now has been an issue. The defense has not. The offense has been an issue right now. But I was just thinking about this from tomorrow night's perspective and what this Giants game means and what we actually have in this Giants game tomorrow night. So what are you actually looking forward to in this game tomorrow night? Sell me on this Giants game. What are you looking forward to? What can you actually learn about the New England Patriots in a game against the New York Giants, a 2-3 football team tomorrow night? So I look at this. The Pats have this all-world defense, and nobody would dismiss this, but we won't learn anything in terms of the group they're playing tomorrow. You look at the Giants offense. Daniel Jones is a rookie quarterback. We know what Bill Belichick has done for the most part against rookie quarterbacks. Now, look, Daniel Jones had the nice debut against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers like 3 weeks ago now. The past 2 weeks, quite frankly, has not been that good. Daniel Jones has not been that great over the past couple weeks. Now, he's exceeded what everybody thought of him. Remember, everybody trashed that pick when he was coming out of Duke. But nonetheless, it's not like he's been overwhelmingly impressive to begin his NFL career. It's just like the bar was so low for that guy that anything he did, everybody was going to praise him for. But even if you look at it, all right, Daniel Jones, not bad. But again, a rookie going against a Bill Belichick defense. You look at the offense for the Giants. Saquon Barkley, their all-world running back, is not going to be in the lineup. Okay, so that would have been something the Patriots could have keyed in on. Like, how do they slow down one of the best running backs in the NFL? All right, that would have been something. He's not playing. His backup, Wayne Gallman, he's not playing. Evan Engram, the starting tight end of this team, is not playing. Sterling Shepard, arguably their best receiver. Now, Golden Tate's back in the fold, but Sterling Shepard is a pretty good receiver. He's not in the lineup. So this Patriots defense that has been the best defense in the league so far this season, you're going to learn. You're going to learn absolutely nothing about them tomorrow night against the New York Giants. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And I look at this team in terms of this Patriots defense, and from a personnel standpoint, I understand how outstanding they are. But let's also put it into the proper perspective. I want to find out in a couple of weeks when they go up against Carson Wentz, when they go up against the Cowboys and Dak Prescott. Not that Prescott's unbelievable, but you have Ezekiel Elliott. You have Amari Cooper. That's where we're going to find out how great this defense really is. We're not finding anything out about this defense right now. Now, it's impressive what they're doing, and they're putting up those unbelievable statistics. But remember the quarterbacks they've played so far this year. Josh Allen, Matt Barkley, Josh Rosen, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Luke Falk, whoever that is, and Ben Roethlisberger with essentially no elbow, a broken elbow, essentially. Like, he needed surgery on his elbow. And last week, they got to play the juggernaut that is Colt McCoy. So as great as this Patriots defense is, I just feel like tomorrow is going to be not worth it whatsoever to find out anything else about this defense. Like, okay, you shut down a rookie quarterback. Great. And I get it. You play who's on the schedule. But I want to see this Patriots defense against an actual quality opponent, because we've seen the Patriots offense against a quality opponent in terms of what the other team had from a defensive personnel standpoint. And the one time the Patriots offense went up against a premier defense which the Buffalo Bills had, the Patriots offense, in my mind, failed. They won that game on the backs of the defense. The Patriots offense was not good against the Bills. The Patriots offense had their one test, but the Patriots defense has not had that test yet, and that's not taking anything away from them. I just don't feel like tomorrow night is an opportunity to learn anything about the Patriots defense. Now, if you look at this from the offense's perspective, what could we really learn about the offense tomorrow night? If Brady and company put up numbers, is anybody going to be overwhelmingly impressed and say, all right, the Patriots have figured out some of the issues they have offensively? No, nobody's going to say that whatsoever, because you're going up against a horrible Giants defense, one of the worst defenses in the league. In fact, right now they're 30th in total defense. They suck. That's a bad, bad defense that the Patriots are going up against tomorrow night. So if you're trying to sell me on something in this game tomorrow night that you're looking forward to from a Patriots perspective, something you can gauge about this team after tomorrow night's game, what is it? 617-779-7937. Brian Barrett with you for the next 3 hours or so, WEI Late Night. Now, again, if Ben Watson was playing, that'd be something, because it'd be a little something different. Of course, he's no longer a member of the organization. But if Ben Watson was playing for this team tomorrow night, you could say, all right, well, we can learn whether or not Ben Watson's going to be a key contributor to this team and see at the age of 38 if he can still run. But clearly the coach doesn't think he's good enough right now to actually be on the football team. So that point doesn't make any sense anymore. So the one thing that I can look at in tomorrow night's game and say, I'd like to see this happen for the Patriots. There's two things. The first one is this. I would like to see Jacoby Myers involved in the offense. Now, Philip Dorsett is out of the lineup. He's dealing with a hamstring injury. So Jacoby Myers right now is the fourth receiver on the team after Gordon and after Dorsett and after Edelman. So I want to see if Jacoby Myers can actually play. And I'm not judging him solely on one game. He only has four catches on the season. But I remember during training camp and all this, everybody was hyping up Jacoby Myers and all this different type of stuff. And in the first preseason game, he looked really good and everybody was high on Jacoby Myers, thought he was going to be a key contributor to this team. So I want to see if the guy can actually play. You're going up against a bad defense tomorrow in the New York Giants. Let's see if Jacoby Myers can actually play a role on this team going forward. This could be that moment where Jacoby Myers and Tom Brady get on the same page and Jacoby Myers actually carves out a role on this Patriots team. So that's one thing that I'd be looking for tomorrow night, that I'd like to see if Jacoby Myers can actually be, you know, a relevant member of the Patriots passing game. And the other thing I'd like to find out about this team, in particular when it concerns the offense, is Sony Michel. Can they get Sony Michel involved in the passing game? Because clearly we saw last week he got going a little bit in the run game. But again, it was against one of the worst defenses in the NFL and the Washington Redskins. What we know about this team this year, the offensive line is not going to be nearly as effective as it was a year ago. So Sony Michel is going to be more multidimensional, if you will, than he's been in previous seasons or his previous season, because he has not been involved in the passing game. And that's one thing that the Patriots, they alluded to it in the offseason, that they were working on Sony Michel with him becoming a more competent receiver out of the backfield. And quite frankly, up until this point in the season, we haven't seen much of it. So those two things, from an offensive perspective, I would like to see tomorrow night. Is Jacoby Myers going to be involved in the game plan? Is he going to catch some passes? Is he going to be involved in the offense? Because up until this point, and look, at one point he was buried on the depth chart when Antonio Brown was still a member of this team, and we'll get to what Antonio Brown said on Instagram today in just a little bit. But at one point he was buried on the depth chart, and now you actually need him to contribute tomorrow. You don't need him to, but you'd like to see him contribute. They can win if Jacoby Myers has zero catches. Obviously, we know that, but you'd like to see him involved. And Sony Michel, can he be more than just that back that runs the football? Can he actually be involved in the passing game? Because when you think about some of the premier running backs in the NFL, and don't get me wrong, I'm not putting Sony Michel in that category, but the modern day running back in the year 2019 is the Christian McCaffreys, the Alvin Kamaras, the Dalvin Cooks. Those are probably the three best running backs in the NFL right now, and they get the ball thrown to them out of the backfield. Right now, Sony Michel hasn't developed that part of his game, and I'm wondering if it's one of two things. Can he just not catch the ball to the backfield, or does the team just feel like they're not going to use him in that capacity? Either way, it's not a good sign for the Patriots, so maybe he can start catching some balls out of the backfield. But the one thing I will say in regards to the start of the season that the Patriots are 5-0, which ultimately we all expected them to be at this point. Maybe people thought before the season Pittsburgh could give them a test because you figured it would be a healthy Ben Roethlisberger. But other than that, you didn't really expect the Patriots to be tested in the first 5 weeks of the season. But one thing I really like about this Patriots team to begin the season, and I get I said that the defense has not played a competent offensive opponent thus far. I stick by that. But one thing I really do like about this defense right now is, so they're giving up just 6.8 points per game. That's a touchdown better than anybody else in the NFL. And it feels like, from my perspective on this, from the way I read it, it feels like the Patriots defense is taking pride in this in terms of they want to be historically great. You think about a guy like J.C. Jackson, who came out a couple of weeks ago on TMZ and said, we're the best defense in the league. And they want to make that known that they're the best defense in the league. And I start to think about it with guys like Dante Hightower, Devin McCourty, guys that have been here for a while, and guys that have come back, like a Jamie Collins. Daron Harmon's been here for a while. So a lot of these key members of the defense have been here for a number of years. Now, obviously, that's how they've built up this chemistry, so to speak. But if you think about it with those guys, they've been with the Patriots for all these years. And what have the Patriots been known for? They've been known for Tom Brady and the offense. And it feels like this is the opportunity for this Patriots defense, these guys who have been stalwarts of the organization, Devin McCourty, Dante Hightower, this is their opportunity to be the storyline in this dynasty, right? Because they've won three out of the, past five Super Bowls. And you think back to the early portion of the first Patriots dynasty, because really, if you look at it, it's two different dynasties. The early one in the 2000s, and now this current dynasty that the Patriots are currently in. If you think about that early 2000s dynasty, think about how we think about some of those defensive players. Teddy Bruschi, Rodney Harrison, Ty Law, Richard Seymour, right? We talk about the defensive guys all the time as really the pillars of why that team became a dynasty. And when you look at the second dynasty, this dynasty we're currently in, we always talk about the guys offensively, and rightfully so. We think about guys like Tom Brady, Julian Edelman, Rob Gronkowski. Those are the guys we think about with this current Patriots dynasty. And I'm not saying we're wrong for thinking about it in that arena, if you will. But I have to imagine some of these other guys, the Devin McCourty's of the world, the Dante Hightower's of the world, at some point they wanted to be their year. Now, they had that unbelievable Super Bowl where the defense dominated the team that led the NFC in scoring last year, the Los Angeles Rams. By the way, Sean McVay could have made an adjustment, never did. But nonetheless, getting back to the original point, they want this, I would imagine, to be their story, to be their year. Because if the 2019 Patriots win the Super Bowl, it's going to be on the backs of their defense. It's not going to be on the back of the offense, because right now, the offense isn't anywhere close to where the defense is at right now. Now, maybe that can change if they make a move, and I ultimately think they will make a move for a big-name player at the trading deadline, because, quite frankly, this offense at this point, and I understand they're 5-0, this offense is not good enough with the current personnel on the team to actually get to Super Bowl. So it could change a little bit, but I imagine this Patriots defense wants to chase history. And that can be a good thing for a team. That can be a really good thing for a team. Think about the 07 Patriots. They wanted to be the greatest offense of all time, and look what it did for Brady through 50 touchdowns. And that Patriots team, they never took a game off because they were motivated to get to that record, right? You think about it like the Warriors a couple of years ago in the NBA. They got to those 73 wins, so they never stepped off the gas during the regular season because they wanted to get to those 73 wins. Peyton Manning in 2013. That offense rallied behind Peyton Manning, wanting him to get to the 50 touchdowns that Tom Brady threw. And eventually, I believe he ended up with, 53 touchdown passes that season. And he broke Tom Brady's record. So when teams are chasing history, they have a certain level of motivation. And I would imagine that's going to come into play with this Patriots defense, where the one thing we've seen is the defense hasn't taken a game off. Now, they had that one awful play against the Redskins where essentially they decided not to tackle the running back. But again, that was one play in the game. And after that, they said, hey, yeah, no more of that. We're going to shut down the Redskins for the remainder of the game. So I would imagine that right now this Patriots defense looks at it and say, hey, this is our turn, right? Because I'm sure that these guys love getting jewelry. Of course, they love winning Super Bowls, etc. But don't you think if you were part of a team that has been labeled an offensive football team for the past 10 years, for the past three Super Bowls, and I get last year the defense was great in that Super Bowl game, but for the most part, over the past 10 years, this team has been known all for the offense. At some point, this Patriots defense and some of the members of this team that have been here for a long time, they want to have their moment where they say, okay, this is our turn. This is our turn to do it. And I look on the flip side of that. I wonder how the quarterback is reacting to all this, because now we've seen some of the comments. He's upset with the young receivers, or he says it takes a while, as I'm paraphrasing. Last week, he had a comment about the receivers, how it takes a while to learn those positions. And then he talked about the tight ends yesterday after Ben Watson was cut and how he's still working with those guys. And they're trying, so to speak. It was almost like an indictment on the tight end position. But nonetheless, you see some of the stuff the quarterback saying. You can see there's clear frustration with Tom Brady in terms of the weapons or the lack thereof. He even called out some of the veterans when he said a couple of weeks ago, we need our veterans to step up. And I believe that was solely directed at Josh Gordon. It wasn't directed at Julian Edelman, so it had to have been directed at Josh Gordon, right? So I have to imagine that Tom Brady, it irritates him that they're almost like the issue with the team, right? Because how long has it been since Tom Brady and the Patriots offense has actually been an issue? even last year when they were having their struggles, they were better than they were at the beginning of this year, right? I mean, that game against the Redskins, the first half was atrocious. And that game against the Buffalo Bills, I mean, we all know that the offense was pathetic in that particular game. And you have to imagine that the quarterback in a walk year is starting to grow absolutely aggravated with the situation right now. And I believe some of the comments, you can read it right there. It's not even like you need to read between the lines.
I'm the quarterback, so, you know, I don't make those decisions.
Yeah, there he is right there. He doesn't make those decisions. But I'm sure if he made those decisions, the roster would look a lot different. It would look like a lot more veterans on the team. Speaking of which, Tom Brady, it seemed like he was, I don't want to say hurt, but it seemed like, man, this whole release of Ben Watson, not bringing him back, not activating him, really bothered Tom Brady. I'm going to get to that in a little bit and some of the comments that Ben Watson made today on OMF in terms of him no longer being a member of the Patriots. So we'll get into all that. What can we actually learn about the Patriots in this game against the Giants tomorrow? Is there anything you're looking forward to in particular in this game tomorrow? The number is 617-779-7.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
93.7 Plus, we'll get to Antonio Brown and his ridiculous comments on Instagram today. But before we do any of that, we'll get you trending right here on WEI.
The only station in Boston where you'll hear exclusive interviews with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. Now, here's what's trending on WEI.
Here's what's trending now on WEI and WEI.com. The Patriots getting ready for the Thursday night football game with the Giants. The New York injury report is a complete mess. Running backs Saquon Barkley and Wayne Gallman have both been ruled out. In addition, receiver Sterling Shepard and tight end Evan Engram also out. As for the Pats, Philip Dorsett has been ruled out with a hamstring injury. Antonio Brown back at it on social media, and now he's trying to get back on the team. The former Patriot posted a video on Instagram saying, quote, "They still got to pay me. They might as well let me earn it," end quotes. The Bees will be back on the ice Thursday in Colorado to take on the Avs. The Black and Gold picked up a 4-3 win over the Vegas Golden Knights on Tuesday. Baseball, the Cardinals beat the Braves 13-1. St. Louis advances to the NLCS. The Cards will get the winner of the Dodgers National Series. L.A. leads Washington in that game 3-0. They're heading to the bottom of the fifth inning in Los Angeles. That's what's trending now on WEI and WEI.com. All right, Brian Barrett with you till 1 a.m. tonight. The number is 617-779-7937. What can we learn about the Patriots in this game tomorrow night? That number again, 617-779-7937. I also do think there's a lot to the whole factor with this defense and them going forward, because I just look at it. Teddy Bruschi has been remembered in this unbelievable light. Everybody loves Teddy Bruschi in this town. Everybody loves Rodney Harrison. Everybody loves Ty Law. We give so much love to those defensive players from the first Patriots dynasty. Do we look at a guy like Dont'a Hightower in that light? Do we look at a guy like Devin McCourty in that light? Do we have these guys as like Patriots legends? And Julian Edelman's a Patriots legend. Rob Gronkowski's a Patriots legend. And I understand those guys have been outstanding. I'm not diminishing what they've done. They deserve to be Patriots legends, especially Edelman and Gronk. They've been unbelievable. But Devin McCourty's been one of the best safeties in the league for really the past 8 to 9 years. The guy's been absolutely incredible. Last year, he was outstanding. This year, he's been absolutely dominant. So this is the opportunity for Devin McCourty and Dont'a Hightower. And I get Hightower's not having the year that a guy like Devin McCourty is having, and Hightower's been banged up, and that's been part of his MO throughout his NFL career. But this could be the year where McCourty goes into that legendary status for Patriots, because I don't feel like Devin McCourty gets that same love that the defensive players did in the last decade. And I have to imagine that's something that motivates the defense after all these years being known as the offensive football team. This is your opportunity to prove yourself as a dominant defensive team. And I would imagine that's what's motivating these defensive players to have this year be their year, where the defense is the reason they get to the Super Bowl and ultimately hoist the Lombardi Trophy again. The number is 617-779-7937. Let's get to Glenn. He's in Dudley to start things off. What's up, Glenn?
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Just want to talk about Sony Michel.
Yep.
Last week he had 3 catches and caught every pass that was thrown to him. And I think this week they're going to continue that momentum, and I think he's going to have a breakout game.
Glenn, I think they need to, because if you look at it, they become so predictable when he's on the field. And you're right, he had three catches last week. Those were his first three catches of the season. But they have to be less predictable when he's on the football field, especially considering he doesn't have the blocking that he did a season ago. He doesn't have those guys up front. He doesn't have Trent Brown. He doesn't have Rob Gronkowski. He doesn't have James Devlin. So he's going to have to become a competent receiver. Last week was the start of something, but I completely agree. Tomorrow, he's going to catch some more balls out of the backfield.
Exactly. I think that they've been working hard with him, and they're going to continue that. I also think that Izzo's going to get more involved in the offense as well. And Tom's going to start targeting him as well.
Yeah, we'll see. I appreciate the call, Glenn. You can grab his line if you'd like at 617-779-7937. One of these tight ends is going to get more involved. Maybe it will be Izzo, but if you look at it from the Patriots' perspective, I just don't imagine that the tight end position, unless they make a trade for, say, Tyler Eifert, who could be on the market. If I'm Cincinnati, I'm selling off A.J. Green and Tyler Eifert. I'm going full Dolphins mode, right? I'm trying to beat them to the tank. I'm trying to be the worst team in the NFL so I can get Tua Tagovailoa with the number one overall pick on the draft, or whoever the quarterback is that you really like, whether it's Herbert, whoever the case may be, whoever you like. I would be doing that if I was Cincinnati. So if it's Eifert or if it's A.J. Green, because I could see the Patriots going the Eifert route, because Eifert would be cheaper, of course, in terms of what you have to give up in terms of your draft assets compared to a guy like A.J. Green, because A.J. Green is the much better player. Now, Green's got to prove he can get out on a football field and actually be healthy, because he hasn't played this season. But if they get Eifert, then the tight end position becomes more involved. But I just don't expect the tight end position to be a major contributor to this team this season. And as we know, Gronk's not coming back. Gronk now is on Fox. He's going to be on TV tomorrow night. By the way, so speaking of tight ends, Ben Watson was on OMF earlier today, and they asked him, I believe it was Lou that asked Watson the question about, does he regret coming back out of retirement?
I don't regret it. You know, when I was released, of course, I thought, man, I did all that and it turned out like this. I definitely had some disappointment. I definitely, you know, Christian, you mentioned being angry. Definitely felt some anger, yeah. some sadness, all those sorts of things. And wondered how maybe it could have been different if I didn't decide just to, stick to what I was doing and not try to play again. But at the same time, this was an opportunity, and I went for it, and we went for it. And sometimes it turns out the way you want it, sometimes it doesn't.
All right, so that was Ben Watson on OMF earlier today, and you heard him right there. He was asked by Lou if he regrets the decision of coming out of retirement, and you could tell there's a little bit. He said, I don't regret it, but you could kind of tell he kind of does regret it, because you have to put yourself in Ben Watson's shoes right now and think about where he's coming from with where he is in his NFL career and ultimately the decision he made to return to the NFL to come to the Patriots. So Ben Watson earlier in that interview referenced the fact that he has seven kids. Obviously, he's married. He has seven kids. And early on in his career, when he was with the Patriots, him and his wife agreed that if he's going to play for another team, that the whole family is going to move to whatever city it is, and they're going to live there. So he went to Cleveland, and of course, he spent years, he went to New Orleans. So he spent years in multiple different cities. So this year in New Orleans, he decided he was going to retire. But then he said, hey, you know what, I would play for the Saints if they still want me. But the Saints decided that they were going to move on from Ben Watson at the tight end position, and they decided to sign Jared Cook. So that was out of the picture for Ben Watson. So then he started to think to himself, at this point in my career, and he mentioned this on OMF, I got to figure there's only a couple of destinations where I would actually want to play. And one of those destinations would be returning to where he started his career with the Patriots. So he decided, okay, if the Patriots are interested in me, I'd be interested in playing for them. And of course, the Patriots knew that Ben Watson was going to be suspended for the first four games of the season. But think about what I just said. So he moves his whole family every time he plays for a new football team. So his family was living in New Orleans. He takes his whole family and he moves to Massachusetts to play for the Patriots this season. He serves his four-game suspension, which the Patriots were aware of, and then he is off the suspension list, so to speak. He can return to the football team. And then what happens? He's not activated last week. And we're all thinking at the time, something fishy is going on here. Is he hurt? What exactly is going on with Ben Watson right now if they're not activating him? Because it's not exactly like you've been getting this great production out of the tight end position. What's going on? And clearly now, after what we found out yesterday in terms of the Patriots have decided to move on from Ben Watson, we're finding out why. Because they didn't want him on the football team anymore. At least Bill Belichick decided there wasn't room for Ben Watson on this team. And I just look at this as how I would feel if I was a player right now. I feel awful for Ben Watson, the player. This is like a human element to the NFL that sometimes we don't really put a lot of stock into, because we see guys cut all the time and guys switch teams and all this different type of stuff. But this is a guy that everybody around the league respects. They respect Ben Watson. And this guy comes in here and he moves his whole family and then he's cut. He is cut before he actually even gets an opportunity to prove himself. Now you can say, oh, well, Brian, he had all the training camp and then he had his return after he was suspended. Well, did Ben Watson actually really get a fair opportunity with the New England Patriots?
That's come on, fellas.
Yeah, that's what I feel bad about. I feel bad for the guy. I feel bad for Ben Watson. I mean, he busted his ass to get to a team and he thought he was going to end his career the way he started it with Tom Brady, have an opportunity to get to a Super Bowl, win a Super Bowl with Tom Brady, and that would be probably his final season. Then he would hang him up, moved his whole family to do that, and then all of a sudden, a day later, the guy finds out, or not a day later, but a couple of weeks after he's activated, like a week and a half after he's activated, he doesn't even get a chance. Ben Watson never actually got an opportunity to prove himself on the football field for the Patriots. You can say all this stuff about, yeah, well, he was at practice and all this different type of stuff. Yeah, I totally understand that. But he didn't get an opportunity to actually go out on the football field and prove his worth to this team. And you have to imagine this. If Ben Watson isn't facing that four-game suspension, right? If he's not facing that four-game suspension to begin the season, I'll tell you this, Ben Watson's on the football team. Because he would have been atop the depth chart in front of Ryan Izzo and Matt Lacoste. Because outside of those guys, like, the difference between Ben Watson and those guys is he actually had a real thing that we call a resume in the NFL. And now, because of the fact that he missed those four games, and the Patriots right now are in financial trouble in terms of the salary cap. I'm not saying the organization is. But think about it. Because of the Antonio Brown dead money, the Patriots, in terms of their salary cap situation, which we're not used to seeing with the Patriots. They're usually really good at managing the salary cap. But because of what happened with Antonio Brown, and you have that dead cap number because of Brown, now they're in a weird position in terms of the salary cap where it makes more sense, unless Ben Watson was going to be this huge contributor to the Patriots in 2019, which obviously Bill Belichick doesn't think that's the reality of where Ben Watson is at as a player right now. So because that isn't the case, the Patriots decide to move on from the player because of the economic trouble they're in terms of the salary cap, because they need to make sure that they can be at least a little bit flexible, because they're going to have to make additional roster moves in terms of when they want to go after a guy on the trading block, which I expect they're going to be able to do in the next coming weeks here. They're going to have to go after somebody. And Ben Watson was a salary cap casualty, if you will. There was just no point in keeping him around if the Patriots thought that having him on the team wasn't going to be like a huge contributor. Like, if he wasn't going to be a huge contributor, what's the point of keeping the guy around? Is, I would imagine, the conclusion that Bill Belichick and company decided to go with in terms of their decision-making process. But the only thing I will say with this,
Barbados Belichick.
Yeah. Barbados Belichick. All right. Yeah. That's Mark James, right? Yeah. But anyway, getting back to the original point, the one thing I would say in terms of Ben Watson getting cut from this football team, I told you off the top, I'm not concerned about the Patriots not having the player, because if Belichick thought he was going to be a key contributor, he would have left him on the roster. Okay. So I'm not concerned about, like, missing this great level of production with Ben Watson. And who knows? He could end up back on the team if we get after the trading deadline and they get some room. They could say, hey, do you want to come play? And they could pick him back up. So there is that possibility with Ben Watson. And we know there's not going to be a whole lot of teams after him. And in terms of that, I mean, he's not going to go to a team that's not very good. He's only going to go to a team that's a contender. As he said, he only had a couple of teams on his mind that he wanted to go to. And you think about what he said about he has seven kids, etc., and they're here for the year. They're here for the school year. So you would imagine that he would be very open. And he mentioned today he'd be open to returning to the Patriots if they call him. And Bill Belichick didn't dismiss that today. But here's the thing that I would say. Was there really not room for him on the roster with some of the other guys? Like, you couldn't get rid of a special teams guy, or you couldn't get rid of, I don't know, Cody Kessler? What exactly is Cody Kessler doing for this Patriots team at this particular point in time?
Scout team.
Do you really need three quarterbacks, though? That's a point. Like,
for that amount of money to be a scout team quarterback? Like,
right. So, like, I feel like you could have found room for Ben Watson on the team. And if you're Tom Brady, and Tom Brady spoke very highly of Ben Watson today, he was talking about he's a better person than he is a player. Like, that's how much Ben Watson had meant to Tom Brady. And Tom Brady and Ben Watson had their lockers next to each other. So Ben Watson was talking about them being back together again and how happy he was. So I thought there was room that they could have made for Ben Watson. But in terms of the actual product on the football field, it's not something that I would be concerned about with the Patriots. Like, I remember a couple of years ago when they had Brandon Cooks and they traded away Brandon Cooks. I was pissed at the time. Now, I understood why Belichick did it, because he was saying, all right, this guy's not going to be worth $18 million per season, and I don't want to have all this money in Brandon Cooks' hands, and it ties up other moves I can make in terms of the salary cap. So I understood where he's coming from, but the thing that aggravated you about that move is you saw how good, outside of the Super Bowl game where he tried to jump over the defender, I still have no idea what he was doing in that game, but Brandon Cooks actually worked really well with Tom Brady. Remember, if you looked at the numbers, the statistics proved that that was like Brady's best year throwing the football down the field, like even better than the year with Moss in terms of some statistical measures. So I was upset at the time because it's like you lost a key.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Key member of the offense in terms of you lost that deep threat that Tom Brady hadn't had since Randy Moss. And really, even last year, you look at the passing game the Patriots had, they never really had a competent replacement for a guy like Brandon Cooks. They never really found that in the offense whatsoever. So the reason I was mad about that was because you missed the player that was that actual deep threat. With Ben Watson, there's no feelings like that whatsoever. You don't really feel like you lost anything in terms of a key contributor on the football team. It just comes back to the fact that you actually feel bad for the player. Now, if I look at this team, the pressure is on Robert Kraft, and the pressure is on Bill Belichick in particular to upgrade at the receiver position, because now this position is a complete mess again. You looked at it coming into the season. You didn't feel great about it. Then Demaryius Thomas has that great preseason game. You think, you know what? You know what? Maybe he could do something for this team. And then in the whole Antonio Brown thing, they decided to trade away Demaryius Thomas to the New York Jets. So that's somebody that maybe could contribute to this football team this year. He's no longer a member of the organization. You missed out on all these guys in free agency that you went after. The Golden Tates of the world. We'll see him tomorrow night with the New York Giants. Adam Humphries, etc. You didn't get any of those guys that you were after. Now Bill Belichick and company, they need to upgrade at the trading deadline. They need to be able to bring in a big-name guy to take some of the pressure off Julian Edelman, because as we're seeing right now, the only dependable weapon that Tom Brady has in that passing game, outside of James White in the backfield, is Julian Edelman. That's it. That's the only dependable guy they have right now, because quite frankly, Josh Gordon, he has not been good this season. He has not been good. All right, if you want to hop on board, the number 617-779-7937. What can we learn about this Patriots team in a game against the Giants tomorrow? How badly do the Patriots need to make a move for a receiver? Plus, how do you feel about Ben Watson getting cut? Brian Barrett with you right here on WEI.
Visiting high schools, I'm going to do everything to give back, you know. And if I could ever get back in the game, I got to. So, time out, I'm going to get back to work. Hope you guys having a beautiful day. Yeah, you guys follow the Patriots, tell them call me. They still got to pay me, so might as well let me earn it. XFL, never. That was not even in the question. In life, man, some things happen that may not go to according. But I'll say one thing, man, always stand on principles, always stand on priorities, and always be your best. God is the greatest. Keep praying for me.
All right, that's Antonio Brown today. Brian Barrett with you for the next 2 hours or so. The number is 617-779-7937. By the way, where was Antonio Brown? If you haven't seen the video, his Instagram video, he's like up against a fence. He was just working out or whatever the case may be. But can you find a better location? He's usually been pretty good at these videos. Like, his team turns around these videos pretty quick. That was one of his worst videos in terms of the quality of the video. Not very great out of Antonio Brown today. But he says, always stand on principles. I wonder what Antonio Brown's principles are. I guess the number one principle that Antonio Brown has is, hey, if you don't have to pay somebody, don't pay them, right? Like all these people that Antonio Brown has ripped off, whether it's a masseuse, whether it's a cook at the Pro Bowl, whatever the case may be, a fish tank guy that he didn't pay. It just seems like everybody that Antonio Brown has ever employed, he doesn't end up paying that person. But nonetheless, you heard the big talking point there, and what's getting all the headlines today is Antonio Brown said in the Instagram, if you guys follow the Patriots, tell them to call me. They still got to pay me, so might as well let me earn it. Now, if the Patriots were ever going to dip their toes back into these waters, you know they would have to re-sign Antonio Brown. Like, they would have to work something out to bring Antonio Brown back. He doesn't just get the original contract that he had. He's already filed a grievance against the Patriots. And also, remember this, Antonio Brown, now, right after they decided to move on from him, he was in a good mood and he was thankful.
People don't hate AB. They actually love me.
Yeah, people love him. People, you let, I'm sure the people you haven't paid, they love you. They're big fans of you. The fish tank guy, he's a big fan of you, okay? Huge fan of you, Antonio Brown. Man. The cook, all right, big fan of you. The guy that you almost hit his kid when you threw a couch off a balcony, he's a big fan of you, man. You gotta lie. Everybody loves you, man. Nobody hates you. But nonetheless, getting back to this. So remember, he tweeted this out. So at first, he's tweeting all this stuff out about how he appreciates Bill Belichick, posts a picture with him, how he liked being a member of the Patriots, as I paraphrase some of his tweets. But remember, he tweeted this out after getting cut, too. Like, after he realized, oh, shoot, I don't have a football team anymore. After that kind of sunk in with Antonio Brown, he tweeted this out. Kraft got caught in the parlor. AB speculations fired. Different strokes, different folks, clearly. So he essentially called out the owner of the team. Not essentially. He literally called out the owner of the team for the incident at the massage parlor. And if there was any chance that Antonio Brown was going to get back on this Patriots football team, if maybe the Patriots came to the conclusion that they overreacted with when they decided to move on from Antonio Brown, this would put that out of the question. Not to mention the fact, you think the Patriots are now going to acknowledge, oh, we made a mistake cutting the guy and we're going to bring him back? Sorry, it's just not going to happen. Because the reason they decided to move on from the player is they were looking at it from this perspective. We told him that we had his back, and then he went out there and he sent the text to the woman that accused him of sexual misconduct. That's why he ultimately lost his job, because he couldn't control himself with the text messages. Okay, or the DMs, I should say, because he technically DM'd her, but you get the point. He contacted the woman that accused him of sexual misconduct. So the Patriots are thinking to themselves, this is just going to happen again. We tried to tell him not to do stuff like this. It's going to happen again with Antonio Brown. So any chance he had of getting back with the Patriots, it's over, man. He's not getting back with this team. It's a pipe dream. Everybody's talking about today, oh, could they possibly bring him back? No, they're not bringing Antonio Brown back. 617-779-7937 is the number. Let's get to Paul. He's in Westfield. What's up, Paul?
Hey, good evening, Brian. How are
hey,
you?
Hey, Paul.
Hey, Brian, I want to address the Brown thing, but
sure.
I like what you mentioned earlier. You mentioned the heroes, and McCourtney and these are the art. We don't have that feeling for them, because remember when Gronk and Brewski first came out, especially Gronk, he was like Antonio Brown, going nuts on TV. They wanted to can him for silly behavior.
Yeah.
I think it's time to build up that love and appreciation. But
well, Paul, it's interesting, right? Because, Paul, if you think about it, the first dynasty that the Patriots had, because I view it as two separate dynasties, because that's what it was. It was all about the defensive guys. Those are the guys that get all the love. Even Wilfork, who was on the 04 team. It's Wilfork, it's Ty Law, it's Rodney Harrison, it's Teddy Bruschi. We love these guys, right? But this group of Patriots players, and rightfully so, it's been all about the offense, but the stars are Edelman and Rob Gronkowski, and this has to be that opportunity where a guy like Devin McCourty, who's been a captain on this team for a number of years, who's been an outstanding safety, this is his opportunity to put his name in that Patriots love category, if you will, where he's anointed as one of these great defensive players. I'm sure he wants to be mentioned like Ty Law and Rodney Harrison are mentioned, and it seems like none of the defensive players from this current dynasty get that type of love that the offensive players do.
Right, because in the beginning we score points and don't see the hits, but
right.
I think what our captain has done, it hasn't happened since 1976. Haynes had four interceptions the first four games. And don't you love seeing Hightower and Bennett smash the quarterback? Honest to God, they're the red, white, and blue crew.
Yeah, Paul, and how about Jamie Collins? His return has been incredible. I mean, you expected he would be better than he was in Cleveland, but he comes back, and you can make an argument that he's been the best defensive player on the football team. He's been incredible.
Literally, it really is a thrill to watch this team, and it's a shame. Poor Saquon Barkley. Oh, geez. Well, we don't have to get hit by him. That helps. And what do we have to learn from this? Maybe sometimes you don't always learn something, because this is clearly not the team that they were. And we're going to learn how we can control ourselves and not make mistakes. Like Kansas City blew themselves up in the Colts.
Oh,
that
yeah.
was a hell of a story. And Brian, one more quick point. That Kansas City doesn't have much of a running game. I feel bad for Mahomes, because it never works for RG3, for Cam Newton. These quarterbacks that run get destroyed. They might not be the threat that we think they're going to be.
Yeah, but you got to remember too, Paul, they didn't have Tyreek Hill in that game, and Sammy Watkins went out, and they're going to get Kareem Hunt back after like week 8. So they got a lot of guys coming back.
What, Kareem Hunt is coming back to that team?
Yeah, he's suspended for the first 8 games, and then he can come back in week 9.
Oh, geez. Okay, so, Brian, let me ask you this, bud. Remember how Gronk was when he started, okay?
Yeah.
Now, I hear you. Antonio, I need to sit him down. He wants to talk to God. Well, hey, Paul Christ is right here in Westfield. You have to control your emotions and not be bitter and not get dragged in. Because whether she tried to stick him for $300K on the house and $30,000 on back taxes and played him out, and the federal court booted her. It didn't have merit, so now she's trying to go file in state. Just think, Bri, if I said, hey, we got to kick Antonio Brown out of protection. What? I mean, we may have to reevaluate, sit him down, and give him some medication, because don't you think we need him?
They definitely need him, Paul, and I appreciate the phone call. You can grab his line at 617-779-7937. I shouldn't say they need him in particular, but they need a player like Antonio Brown. Now, it's tough to find a player that's as good as Antonio Brown, but that's why I'm mentioning the fact that Belichick's going to go out there at the trading deadline. He's going to pick up one of these guys, whether it be A.J. Green, whether it be Stephon Diggs, whether it be Emmanuel Sanders. He will pick up one of these guys because right now they need to, because Antonio Brown is no longer a member of this Patriots offense. And I don't think you can be carried by a 33-year-old slot receiver. I'm sorry. Julian Edelman's a great receiver. I don't think he can be the engine that carries this offense. Look at it. He carried the offense in the Super Bowl against the Rams, and what did that get you? 13 points, right? And I understand Brady wasn't great in that game, but I just think you need that threat that everybody prepares for. Because even Edelman last year, who was the best receiver on the Patriots, Rob Gronkowski was still the guy that people were game planning for. That's the guy people were game planning for because he was the big play threat. Julian Edelman is not the big play threat. So, yes, you still need somebody that can replace Antonio Brown or can be 85 to 80% of what Antonio Brown was for this offense. Because right now, the offense in terms of the weaponry, it's not good enough. This offense is not good enough to get to ultimately where this Patriots team wants to get to. The defense is Super Bowl ready. They are Super Bowl ready right now. But Pat Mahomes, as we've seen, he can put up points against anybody. What if Deshaun Watson gets hot against the Patriots? At some point, you're going to need this team to come back in a football game. And when I look at this Patriots team right now, this is the first time I can remember in ages ever answering this question this way. I would ask you, can this Patriots team come back from being down 2 touchdowns? I don't think so. I don't think right now they have the passing game to be able to do it. And any other year in the Brady era, I would tell you, yeah, because they have Tom Brady, they have Gronk, they have Edelman, or they have Amendola and Edelman. They only have one guy right now that they can depend on in terms of the passing game. So until they fill that void that has been left behind by Antonio Brown and left behind by Rob Gronkowski retiring, they need somebody to fill in Gronk's shoes or to fill in Antonio Brown's shoes, because right now this offense is not good enough to come back at a football game and pick you up wins. I just don't see it. All right, the number is 617-779-7937 if you want to hop on board. What can we learn about the Patriots coming up this weekend against the Giants, or I should say tomorrow night against the Giants? Is there anything? What'd you make of the move to get rid of Ben Watson? Does this Patriots team need an upgrade at the tight end position and the receiver position? Plus, I do want to get into this Alex Spears story from the Boston Globe in terms of just the dysfunction within the Red Sox organization. We'll do all that, Brian Barrett, with you right here on WEI Late Night.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.